Hi, I'm Shashwat Yashwardhan, and in this podcast, I'll be sharing with you my journey of emotional highs and lows, of rejections, of overcoming hardships, and bouncing back to work with a rejuvenated intent. That is basically engineering. So let's jump straight into it from the beginning. As a school kid, I was always interested in physics and mathematics. These subjects really interested me naturally. Newton's laws of motion and calculus had my extended interests. Hence, I decided to undertake science and later on mechanical engineering to gain a profound understanding of these subjects. When I first started out on my quest, I had no clue what I wanted out of it or even why I was doing it. I felt like a fish out of water for the first month or so. But life makes its own way, whether we like it or not. So yes, I did meet new people and made friends and started to enjoy this new part of my journey. I'll be honest here, being shy and laconic, I never made what you would call a circle of friends in college. But managed to make 2-3 friends who will stand by me no matter what, and that's what I feel is the most significant thing I earned in my college. In my first year, I had no ambition of achieving anything specific at all, and all that mattered to me was somehow survive the monotonous lectures and get back to my room and watch a movie. I was what you could call a very average guy who would lead a very mundane life. But fate works in weird ways to take you to your destiny, and that's what happened in my case. In the second part of my journey, that is my second year, I was pretty much the same person, except for the fact that I had really taken a liking towards gymming and fitness. Even at this point of my engineering, I seriously had no goal or ambition, and only wanted to watch movies, TV series and work out. But the ones who really care for you will never let you slack off. So my mum forcibly pushed me to join a F1 team in my college to kickstart my involvement in extracurricular activities, and that's when my life started to change. I hated going to the workshop, I just hated it, and working there up until late night and even sometimes early morning. I started to bunk my early morning classes and use this new thing as an excuse for it when I actually watched TV series up until about 6 or 7 a.m. in the morning after coming from the workshop. But one thing that caught my mind was the dynamics of the F1 vehicle. Seeing a few equations and theorems dictating the run of a F1 car was fascinating. So I was getting pretty much inclined towards practical learning and had certainly ruled out the option of doing a job after my engineering. I also joined the ASME VIT team as a core committee member to get myself more occupied and more importantly to add some managerial experience in my resume. My schedule at this time was packed with work and I could not watch any movies or TV series as I used to do earlier. So I longed for my average and mundane life and detested this new one. I was having a lot of quarrelsome conversations with my mom as I was adamant on leaving the team and she wanted me to continue. Just when all of this was going on, our seniors in the team conducted an oral examination to allot departments to the new members. I got the composites department while my friends from the team got the better ones. It was a rejection of sorts and I was disappointed with it. And in an impulse of anger, which was caused by disappointment and seeing other people around me get better things while I had to settle for less, I called the captain and I told him that I was leaving and I did leave the team. My mom did not talk to me for weeks after hearing this, so just to make it up to her, I interviewed for another F1 team. I was rejected badly this time and felt my confidence was crushed. But me being me, I just did not care and got back to my average life. One day, my faculty advisor called me for a meeting. So I went. I told him about this fiasco that had happened and surprisingly, he supported me. He told me that I had a choice to be an engineer with a completed transcript or an engineer with contributions to the field and a completed transcript. He emphasized on working on research projects and simply innovative projects as in general, where I would also get a lot of time for myself. His words had a trenchant impact on me and gave a new direction to my thinking. He also told me that he would talk to my mom and convince her to back me with my choices. Following all of this, after my second year, I got an internship opportunity in Pune where I had to pursue a very innovative project. I had got an S grade in machine drawing and was significantly good in CAD designing, and this project was about the same thing. I worked on redesigning of wind turbine fabrication components and their weight optimization. It was a successful project for me where I was appreciated for my work. I learned that working in F1 teams or clubs and chapters wasn't everything, and that if I wanted to do something, I could do it without having to compromise on the way I go about my work. Now with a successful project in my CV, I was motivated to do more and had set my goal of doing an MS after engineering as I wanted to learn more about mechanical engineering from a practical point of view. and maybe then later on contribute something significant to the field of renewable energy, as working in Suzlon had helped me realize that it would be the best for me. In this pursuit, I started working on a research project. Now, as far as research goes, I have seen many people eschew it just because they think it is something impossible to achieve. And when you add words like International Journal or Scopus Index, it just becomes insurmountable task to them. But actually, it's not really tough to pursue. I won't say it's easy either, but you need to be patient and perseverant with it. And if possible, find the right people for you to go through it. I did the same, and our paper was published in an international journal, and we also attended an international conference where we presented it. These events bolstered my confidence, and I knew I was going in the right direction for my goal. Well, but many people will say that that's just one, we need to publish multiple of them. I say not needed. One relevant to your field of interest and your future interests, more importantly, and high on quality is as good as three. Plus, if you have projects wherein there is some patentable quality and where you have actually put in some effort, also help a lot. For example, I had worked on an innovative two-stage biogas digester design for my technical answers for real-world problems project, and that too was lauded as patentable by my faculty. Now the time had come for me to address the elephant in the room and take my GRE exam before I started applying to universities in my final year. So I took my GRE in June of 2019 and I scored decently in my first attempt. At that time I decided to go through with my score since a single attempt costs you about 15,000 INR. Now finally the year that everyone in engineering equally dreads and wishes to be in had arrived. Yes, it was the onset of our final year where everyone was going to put their skills to test and everybody was going to be judged by everyone else around them based on what they achieve or where they get placed. After the first month of our final year, things started to settle down. There were smiles somewhere, some people were happy, some got rejected, but there were many like me who had not tried their luck yet. Seeing people get placed for 30 lakhs, I sometimes doubted myself as in what I was doing. But in the times of self-doubt, it is most important to stick to your goal and not get deterred by what is happening in your surroundings. So I started to work on my application with one goal in mind, and that was getting into an Ivy League university. Now why I wanted to get into an Ivy League university has a backstory to it. While I was preparing for my GRE in my university, I had attended a seminar organized by an agency where they were going to inform us about the prospective universities we could get into based on our GPA and GRE score. The Ivy League universities were the highlight of the seminar, and we were told that it was a prestigious achievement to get into one and then pursue your higher education from there. We were also informed that it was tough to get into one and that you needed a really high GPA and GRE score to even be considered for acceptance. The acceptance rate of these universities ranged from 5% to 10%, and that it would require a Herculean effort to get into one. It was at that time that I decided to myself that I was going to apply to at least one of them and give my 100% in trying to get an admit from one. In this pursuit, I did give my GRE again and my points increased by 3 marks, and I did not know whether those 3 marks did help me in getting an admit or not, but I for sure know that trying till your last breath and giving your 100% is much better than living in the regret of not trying at all. Now when you're applying for MS, the most important aspect of your application is your statement of purpose or your SOP. And many students I have seen tend to ignore this aspect and they run after high GRE scores and high GPA. Well, GRE and GPA are also important, but SOP is what defines you as a student. It defines what you have learned and it certainly defines what you will do once you are there as a student in that university. So I was aware of this fact and I was also aware of the lackings of my application. So I knew that if I made a good SOP, if my SOP was lucrative that it could impress the admissions committee, then I knew I could eclipse those lackings. So I worked on my SOP tirelessly for a month and scrutinized it about every day for that month and made changes to every statement, and I was very particular about every word that I put in my SOP, and I tried not to be rhetorical at all and was very specific with what I had done in my current university and what I would do once I would reach that university as a master's student. So after a month of making my SOP and another month of procuring my LORs, I could say that I was pretty much ready with my application, and I applied to 6 universities. So after applying, it was time for the results now. I applied to 6 universities and I got into 5 of them, including Columbia, which is an Ivy League, and Carnegie Mellon University, which is renowned as one of the best for engineering in the United States. And I'm still waiting on Purdue for their decision on my application. So now, what worked for me in my application? I personally feel it was my statement of purpose. A month of scrutinizing it and fretting over small things finally feel worth it when you get an admit from a dream university. Now, when you intend to pursue an MS, many people simply do it because they think they will earn more money after doing it, and they frame their SOP in a similar manner and eventually end up getting rejected by these top class universities. But if instead you focus on what you have learned or how you will learn further if given a chance, works wonders. So to those who intend to pursue an MS, work on your SOP for at least a month and mention innovative project ideas you would like to pursue once you get an admit. Only after brainstorming for a month, I came up with a lucrative idea of combining my research project and my internship project to make an optimized component with a new metal matrix composite, so that there is no compromise on the strength of the component after removing some parts for weight reduction. Now, these are the kind of statements that catch the eye of the admissions committee and help you get past those who have better stats than you. But nonetheless, as engineers, we are always reminded about the importance of statistics, that is our GPA and our GRE scores, in our careers. So they should also be given equal importance alongside our personal development. But one thing that everyone should keep in mind is that never let anyone tell you that you are not going to make it. Or even if you are told such things, you can always prove them wrong. Many people thought that I was delusional in applying to the universities which I got accepted into, as they thought that I did not have the GRE or the GPA scores or some commendable extracurricular involvement in my college to back my application. I was confident with my projects and had given my best effort in making my application, so I knew I would make it, which I did, and I'm really thankful for that. Now, after giving a lucid description of my journey, I would like to say the one thing that I was able to figure out during my undergraduation. A lot of students rush to find their goal just because they see their peers being involved and busy in doing something. In this process, they completely ignore what really intrigues them and ultimately end up being unhappy with their work. Well, it took me 2 years to make some sense out of my engineering course, as in what I was doing in Vellore. I took my time and made my choices, and only after my internship at Suzlon, I was convinced that I wanted to contribute something to the field of renewable energy after completing my MS. And there has not been a single day where I have regretted this choice. I went about my work with my approach and believed in my capabilities and thankfully achieved my dream. So none of us are invincible or perfect, but we are unique. And that's what defines us, and that's why we should never let anyone tell us how we should go about our work. Most importantly, make your choices. If you want to quit something, or if you don't want to be a part of something because it's having a toll on your mental or physical well-being, it's not worth it, certainly. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and feel free to contact me.